diary changeover. So I got this email off Sally asking me what I was preaching on. I was thinking, oh, I'm preaching this week. So I'm just thankful for that reminder. But I'm here just to preach, but I don't find preaching that easy, really. But all I do is share what I think God's putting on my heart for me. And so that's what's going to happen this morning. And there's been a convergence of things. I heard a sermon about 6 months ago on faith. I'll be sharing a little bit about what I heard there. But I've also been reading Hebrews myself, and which kind of ties in as well. And I have to say, last year, 2014, the Lord was just really speaking to me about the prodigal son. So I'm putting all those things together, and something might come out. And I think it's all tied in together. But what we're looking at this morning is faith. And there's a verse which I just want to look at. It's just one verse, and we're not going to spend time there. We're going to be going elsewhere. And this is a verse. It's Luke 18, verse 8. It says this: I tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find faith on the earth? And as I was on the internet last night, looking at your website to get the postcode coming over here again, I saw your strap line. Is it a strap line? Does anybody know what it is? Stepping out in faith and moving on in faith. And I thought, wow, that's not a bad title for us to look at, is it? And how long have you used that for?
Well, a couple of years.
But it shouldn't be on there because we're going to change it to this year. Oh, right, okay. Okay. Well, I'm just going to remind you of what your strap line was a couple of years ago then. Okay. And, we're just going to be looking at faith. And what I want to say to you this morning is God wants to do something with us. Now, we may be comfortable with that line, God wants to do something with us. But I want to say this to you: God wants to do something with you. Okay? And I want you to say that to yourself out loud this morning: God wants to do something with me. Can you say that? God wants to do something with me. Can you believe that? Okay, because he really, really does. He really does, and it's important that you believe that, and you know that, and you walk in that. Because sometimes we can think we're not worthy enough, but we've got a God who wants to speak to us and wants us to obey and trust him. And I just want you to know that for 2015. Because I look back at 2014 and I ask myself a question: Dave, were you faithful in 2014? I'll ask you that, but I don't need to reply. Okay, because that's what God wants us to be. Will I find faith on the earth? Were you faithful in 2014? And what's 2015 holding for you? Okay, and you know what? Some of you are older. I'm not being rude here, but some of you are older. And society may be saying to you, you're no good. But let me tell you, God wants to do something with you. He wants to do something with you this week. He wants to do something with you this year. Okay? And it's important that we look to see what God is saying. And I don't know what you've come here this morning for. You may have come here to have fellowship. That's good. But primarily we've come to hear from the Lord, haven't we? Now I might be speaking for who knows, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes. No, don't panic. But you know, God may speak to you through two words. Just take those two words and go home and pray and let God develop those two words and throw the rest out. Okay, because that's how God works. He just wants to speak to you. And we just pray that he will speak to us this morning. And when he's talking about faith here, what's Jesus talking about? Because it can't be existence. It says in James, there's a verse in James 2, verse 19, that even the... I'll just look at that and read that out. James 2, verse 19, it says, You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Okay, so faith isn't just belief, because the demons knew that. What is faith? What is faith? And do you know what it is? It's completely trusting in Him, no matter what the physical evidence may be. It's completely trusting in Him and living by revealed truth. Living by revealed truth. I heard this sermon the other day about a chap called Narshon. Has anybody heard of Narshon? Okay, don't worry, I hadn't heard of Narshon, but I just found this a fascinating story. Now, Narshon was one of the original elders in Egypt. Sorry, not in Egypt, in Israel. And he had come out of captivity of Egypt, and he was made one of the elders. Okay, and so this man, I just want you to realise what he's seen. He was captive and he's been released from Egypt. Okay, he's known the redemptive power of God. He saw the Red Sea parting. Okay, so this man has seen the acts of God. Now I'm going to fly through Numbers here. Numbers 1 to 7. I'm just going to read these out to you. I won't read it all. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of meeting. On the first day of the second month, in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of their names, every male individually. Okay? Then that's the first bit of Numbers. And it goes here. From Judah, Narshon, the son of Okay, so Narshon is the man who's in charge of Judah. Okay, he's the head of Judah. In verse 27, it says, those who were numbered of the tribe of Judah were 74,600. That was men. Okay? So Judah is in charge. Narshon is in charge of the house of Judah. Okay? He was a respected and honored man. Okay? I'm going to go to Exodus 24 here, 6 to 11. You don't have to follow me here. I just want you to know who this man is. Okay? I'll be very brief. And this is when Moses is up the mountain. Okay? And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were paved, a work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. Okay, that was Moses up the mountain with the elders. Okay, Narshon would have been one of those men. Okay, so he was highly favoured. He was a man who saw the presence of God and ate and drank in the presence of God. Okay? In Numbers 7, verse 12, forgive me for this running around, but I just want to show you who this man is. And this is the offerings, the leaders making offerings to God. Okay? And the one who offered the offering on the first day was Narshon from the tribe of Judah. He was the man who made the first offerings of the leaders of the children of Israel. Okay? I'm going to Numbers 11. Forgive me here. Numbers 11. 16 and 17. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people, that you may not bear it yourself alone. This man had the Spirit of God upon him. Okay? He's an important man. This man's sister married Aaron. Okay? So you're getting to see that this man, Narshon, was an important man in Israel. He'd eaten and drunk in the presence of God. He was head over a tribe. The Spirit of God was upon him. Okay. But then we've got a bit of a sadness here. We go to Numbers 13, and it says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their families. Okay? And then if I go down to verse 6, it says, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb was now the head. So this man, Nahshon, he had all these privileges, but he never entered the promised land. Okay? And when God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, it was an 11-day journey to the promised land. Okay? And it took them 40 years. Why did it take them 40 years? It took them 40 years because of disobedience. Okay? They heard the word of God saying, I'm giving you this land. But they ignored it. They ignored it, and fear struck them. The people there are mighty. And they didn't go in. They didn't go in. Okay? There was something missing in Nahshon's life, wasn't there? Something missing. Okay? I just want to introduce you to somebody else. Okay? And this is Joshua 2, verse 1 to 12. Okay, I'll read this. I'll read this out. Have we got this? Joshua 2, 1 to 12. Okay, brilliant. Then Joshua, son of Nun. I'm going to read all this because this is such an exciting passage. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shechem to go and look over the land. He said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and enter your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gates, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of the flax she had laid on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the falls of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Are you able to go on? Yeah. The gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. It's interesting, isn't it? They were melting in fear in Jericho. They're also melting in fear outside. The children of Israel, weren't they? We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. Okay? And he goes on to say, our hearts melted, everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God in heaven and above and on earth below. Okay? I'll just leave the rest of that. Okay? And we're introduced here to Rahab. Okay, known as a harlot or a prostitute. Okay, and she lived in Jericho. And what does it say here? It says she heard God speak. She heard that God was going to deliver this land. And what did she do? She believed it. She didn't have all the trappings that Nahshon had. She hadn't seen the power of God like Nahshon had. She wasn't linked to the priesthood like he was. But she heard the word of God and she believed it. She believed it. And not only did she believe it, she put her life on the line. If Rahab was caught, okay, she'd been done for treason and killed. But she risked her life for God. Okay, can you imagine that? Those spies went home, and Rahab was alone in her city, all alone. But what kept her going? Faith. Faith in God. And she was alone. Whilst the spies went off back to their families, she was alone in that city. But you know what? That didn't disable her. What did she do? She went and evangelized her family. God has come to destroy this city. You need to be saved by God. So she was a risk taker. But she wasn't a risk taker. She believed what God was telling her. And she walked in it. She walked in it. She was living by faith. Okay, and that was something that was missing in Nahshon's life. Right, here we go, as a quiz for you. Do you know who Rahab married? Don't worry, neither did I. She married Salmon. Okay, who was he? Nahshon's son. Okay. They had a child called Boaz. And Boaz means, I believe God. Okay. I wonder whether that son saw something in Rahab he didn't see in his father. And that was faith in God. You know, God wants to speak to us today. He wants to give us revelation and us to walk in it. Okay, whatever you're doing, just seek what God wants you to do today. Because that's what Rahab did. Last Sunday, I had the joy of going down to London. Okay, and I went to see a friend who was baptised. I hadn't seen him for 12 years. I've worked with him in the police, and he was forced to resign from the police because of his situation. And he lived for being a policeman. And I remember we were in Birmingham at the time, and I was in Worcester visiting my parents, and I got the call that he had to leave the police very quickly. And he lived down south, and he was travelling past Worcester. I knew he was a broken man, and I just knew the Lord tell me to go meet him. I have to say, I was in a rubbish place spiritually. I was in an absolutely rubbish place, but I knew God had spoke to me and said, go and meet him. So as he was driving past Worcester, I met him on one of the motorway bridges, and I gave him a Bible, and I said, I know you don't believe this, but I said, take a read of it, and I hadn't seen him for 12 years, and I got a tweet. Do you know what, are you on Twitter? No, okay, I'm not on it, I'm not a techie, okay, and I read this, he tweeted me, okay, he said this: many years ago, a good friend of mine gave me a book. Recently, I opened it and began to read. I have never looked back. It was a Bible. Thanks, Dave. You know, and I knew God had prompted me to do that. I wasn't in a place where I was giving out Bibles, I can tell you. If anything, I probably needed the Word of God more than he did. But I knew God had prompted me to go and see him. Okay? And it's just amazing what God does, isn't it? And God, I went down to his baptism, and just seeing how God is permeating his family, you know. And I just want to say that was an act of faith on my behalf, because I have to say I wasn't doing it boldly. I was thinking, oh, but that's what God told me to do. Am I looking back 12 years to the last time I walked in faith? I want to know what God's asking me to do. Rahab risked her life. She didn't have the traditions, the pomp and all that sort of stuff. She was just seeking God. God, what do you want me to do in this situation? And can I tell you, folks, you don't have to be an evangelist at all. You just have to ask God, what do you want me to do in my situation, where I am? Where are you going tomorrow? What are you doing tomorrow? Ask God, Lord, I'm open. Help me. I just want to hear your word. Folks, this is the word of the Lord. This is the word. The Bible is the word. But you know, God speaks to us and asks us to do things outside of this as well, doesn't he? He prompts us. He gives us a compassion that's not natural for somebody. Just follow it. That's God speaking. Just follow it and move with it. Okay? And that is faith. Faith is aligning our thinking with his. Just aligning our thinking with his. And how do we do this? How do we do it? You know, I was thinking of the prodigal son. You know, I've just been, just been dwelling on that for so long. And you know, when the son comes back, he's forgiven by the father, and the father says to him, well, it doesn't say these words, but please get the gist of it. We're going to have a party. I'm killing the fattened calf, and we're going to celebrate. That word celebrate is in there. Okay? All right? And sometimes, I know this was right for me. I don't think I was worthy enough to come into the presence of God. And I only am by Jesus. Okay? But God wants us at his table so he can feed us, he can refresh us. He can give us his goodness. That's what he wants. He wants us in the place. That's what Canaan was all about. Canaan isn't heaven. Canaan is a place of rest where we receive from God. Where we cross the River Jordan, we've died to ourselves, and we come out in newness of life in the Spirit of God. That's what Canaan is. And you know, coming at his table is that song we were just singing, Father, I place into your hands the what?
The things I cannot do.
The things I cannot do. I can't do that, but God has told me to do it. Can you imagine Rahab? Just allow God to speak and he'll enable you. And do you know what? That table's a place of joy as well. Why is it joy? Because we know what he's done. He's done for us. Okay, it's not about us. It's about him. I know last time I came here, we listened to a track about Songs of Solomon, isn't it? About him refreshing and sustaining us. And that's what God is all about. He wants us to come into that relationship with him, eating and drinking and dining and knowing the joy that he gives us. Well, did you know what? When I went to that baptism, I thought, the next copper friend of mine has come to know Jesus. Okay? I did nothing. I just gave him a Bible. Jesus did the rest 12 years later. And I'm thinking, I'm in a place of joy there. I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you do this. And I just want to be a person that walks by faith. We're called to do works, but here's works. His works. And folks, I just want us, he's made it possible for us to come in and to hear from him. And I want us to be still sometimes and just to receive from him. In the hustle and bustle of life, just stop and say, God, speak to me. Speak to me now. Let's be in a place where we receive, from him. In Hebrews, in my own private reading, I've just been going through it, and it's amazing how it's just been linking in with this. It's obviously, Rahab is mentioned in Hebrews, isn't she? As a great person of faith next to Abraham. Next to Abraham. Okay? And what God does with people like Rahab. Isn't that amazing when you think of those two families? Can you imagine that wedding? Nahshon, the man who's well connected, and the prostitute coming into this family. Why? Because of Jesus, because of God. Doing amazing things in people's lives, isn't it? And I'm just going to, just here in Hebrews 15 to 19. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief. They'd heard the word of God. They'd heard God speaking to them. But they failed to enter because of unbelief. Okay? As believers, we've got a choice. We can remain in the desert wilderness, or we can live in the promised land. What happened when they went in the promised land? They saw God doing battles for them. No. If you get home, have a read of those battles about Jericho, how God broke all the things that bound them. Okay, he delivered and fought for them. Okay, and if you look at the book of Hebrews, Hebrews is warning about us drifting and doubting and being dull of hearing. Okay, God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you today. And he wants us to do something for him. I don't know about you, but I want God to tell me. I want to know what he wants me to do. And I just trust that I obey. I pray that I obey. Because when he speaks, he provides the power, doesn't he? He provides the power. And do our lives count for God today? I just think of Rahab. She was all out for God, wasn't she? She lay her life down. She lay her life down. The Apostle Paul, what did he say when he finished his ministry? I've run the race. Completed the faith. Okay. That's a challenge to me. Folks, when I'm talking here, I am talking more to myself because I believe God's speaking to me here. Okay, so don't feel battered and bruised because it's me. Okay, and I'm thinking, well, it's the Lord's battering me. But I'm just asking you, will I find faith in you, Dave? And this year, I just want to know God speaking. And can I tell you, as I work out on the streets with people, I just realise my need for God. And I'm thinking, Lord, just give me a word for this person right here, right now. I need it. Because do you know what? I can preach. I can preach, but it may not be the word that God wants me to give to people right here, right now. And that's what I need. Because when I've got that, it comes in power. And it's for the recipient. And I want to know God speaking. And I trust that you do too. And I'm not telling you, be excited to see what your next strap line is. But let me tell you, please don't ever forget that strap line you had. Because that's so important to me. God wants to do something in me today. Let's find out what that is. And let's walk in that. We now